Well, so yesterday we began the sugya of Lokim Mishalim with Ula, and that's on Daf Lamed Beis. So if you turn to Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, we got up to the Tzad HaShav of Ula, the very, very famous Tzad HaShav of Ula, world famous. And Ula is going to combine Chovel and Edim Zomim, which are the two cases in which the Torah says that in the overlap of Malkus and Mammon, we make you pay the Mammon and we exempt you from the Malkus. But in each case, we had both a Kula and a Chumra. So we didn't know exactly which is more Chamur and which is more Kal. If we give you Malkus, is that more Chamur? If we make you pay, is that more Chamur? And in either direction you take it, you can't really derive anything from Chovel or from Edim Zomim. So now the Gemara wants to say, Ela Gomar Mitravayu. If we combine forces here and we take Chovel together with Edim Zomim, we can derive with the Tzad HaShava the Halach of Mammon Mishalim V'Eino Loka. So if you're taking a look now on Daf Lamed Beis, you're going to see approximately 15 lines from the top, you'll see the statement in the Gemara that's called Gomar El Gomar Mi Travayhu, and the line actually starts with the word Ella, so I think that's a good way of finding it. You have it? On Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, it's about 10 lines up from the bottom.
Yeah.
And the first word in the line is Ella.
El Gomar Mi Zomim.
Excellent. El Gomar Mi Zomim. And then the Gemara is going to say that we're going to have to derive from a what's called a Tzad HaShava. Okay then? So let's just see. Where does it say Elagomar Mitravayu? Because that's really what we got up to. Elagomar Mitravayu. Oh, here it is. It's about five lines up from the bottom of the page. Right? Elagomar, the first word in the line is Gomar. Mm-hmm. So Elagomar Mitravayu. That's where we got up to yesterday. So we're going to take both Chovel and Edim Zomim and combine them. So if you're going to tell me that you can't learn from Chovel, right, because Chovel has a Chumra of Chamisha Dvarim, then I'm going to quote to you the case of Edim Zomim, because Edim Zomim doesn't have the Chumra of Chamisha Dvarim. And if on the other hand you're going to tell me, well, Edim Zomim has a Chumra because you don't need Asra, well, I'm going to quote you the case of Chovel B'Chavero, where you need a Hasra. But what's common, Malat Tzad HaShavashim, what's common to both Edim Zomim and Chovel B'Chavero is that the Ika Mammon U'Malkos Mammonim Shalim Milkol Olochi, that of the two punishments that we impose, we choose to impose the punishment of Mammon and we ignore the Chiv Malkos. Is Af Kol Heichad the Ika Mammon U'Malkos, so too in any case where there's an overlap between Mammon and Malkus is Mammonim Shalom Milkol Olochi. This is the source for Ula. We're going to soon see that Rabbi Yochanan rejects Ula, and he's of the opinion that you give him Malkus and you don't give him Mammon. How does the Gemara reject this Tzad HaShav of Ula? Malat Tzad HaShav Shebem Sheyesh Mem Tzad Chomur. Now, this concept of a pircha to a Tzad HaShava based on Tzad Chomer is a subject of great controversy throughout Shas. This sugya that we're seeing here in Ksubas Lamed Beis reflects the shita that a Tzad Chomer is enough to undermine a Tzad HaShava, which is a little bit strange when you think about it, because The pircha of Tzad HaShava really undermines the whole essence of the Tzad HaShava, because what are you telling me, that they both have a Tzad HaChomer? Yeah, but each Tzad HaChomer is different than the other one. And that's the point of a Tzad HaShava. What we're trying to say is, don't pinpoint the fact that this doesn't have Asra, because I'll quote you a case where you need Asra. Don't pinpoint the case where in Chomer where you're Chayav Chamishah Dvarim, I'll quote you the case where it's over, where you're not Chayav Chamishah Dvarim. So basically we've undermined all those pirchos by telling you that if you ask me a pircha from A, I'm going to show you B, and if you ask me a pircha on B, I'm going to show you A, and that gives me a Tzad HaShava. And in both cases, you have Mammon and Malkus, and you impose the Chiv Mammon, and you alleviate the Chiv Malkus. But that's called Tzad Chomer. And tzarchara means that when you combine forces of these of whatever two cases you have, if I can find a common link between those two cases, in which that underlying link justifies the din, so it doesn't produce a klal, a rule that should apply elsewhere. We're going to limit it to these two cases because they both have the same tzad hashov. Now, all of this is based on the fact that mamon is l'chumra. That to impose the chiv mamon, let's say it's a $1 million case, that's more chumra than taking 39 lashes from some weakling. Because the Gemara says in Makis that we don't appoint the Shliach Bezdin to be this big zhlub, you know, this heavyweight champion, you know, that's going to beat the living daylights out of you. And we don't equip him with the most powerful kind of a tool, you know, to beat you up. So maybe it's a chumra if you have to pay $1 million rather than taking 39 malchus. But now we have another possibility that maybe in the choice between mamon and malchus, maybe mamon is a kula, which means that if you had the choice, you'd rather pay mamon and sign the check than take 39 lashes. On that side, well, guess what? We have a kula in each one of these two cases, because in the case of chovel bechaver, we have a kula in that what do we call it? I forget the language. It's huter mechlolo, right? It's called huter mechlolo.
Which one is it?
That's the case of chavolo. So in the case of chavolo, we have a huter mechlolo because the shliach bez is allowed to beat you up. And in the case of Edom Zona, we have a kula because lo avid maisa. The Edom really didn't achieve their goal. Because kasher zona velo kasher osa. So that's what Gemara is going to say, that now I can reject the tzad hashoveh on the tzad that mamona is lakula, because both chovel and Edom Zomim have a tzad kula. Why do they both have a tzad kula? That's what we said, huta mechlolo, or the case of loka avid maisa. So now at this point we have to find a different source for Ula, and we're turning now to Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis. My goal for today is to get to Rabbi Yochanan and then get back to the sugya of yesterday about Akiru L'Tzorech HaNocha. El Ula Tachas Tachas Gomar. Ula has a Gzeira Shava that in two parashios the Torah used the word Tachas, in the parasha of Chovel and in the parasha of Ones. Gomar, right? So that's the limud of Gzeirah Shavah. Ksiv Hach, it says in the parasha of Ones in Kitetze, it says Velosia liisha tachas asher ina lo yuchal shalcha kol yomav, that the Ones is going to have to marry this woman, this Anusa, because of his inui, because the inui that he caused her, she suffered this anguish through the Maisa Ones. So it says tachas uksiv hasam in the parish of Chovel, but Chavir back in Mishpatim it says ayin tachas ayin ma hasam, just like in the case of Chovel, is mamona mishalem milka lo laki. The Torah says that you pay the five categories of chavola of nezikin rather than give a malchus for violating Paul Pen Yosef. Is af kol hecha de ika mamona umalkis? Any time that there's an overlap of mamona umalkis, mamona mishal milkalo loki, and that's because of the equation to onus. Now you may argue, well, maybe the Torah is actually shedding a light on the law of Ones, that in the case of Ones, if he would be Chayav Malkus, let's say, for example, let's say he had this Ones relationship with a Mamzeres, which is a violation of a law of Mamzeres, and he should really get Malkus for that, but the Torah is saying, no, he pays the Knas, Tachas Asher Ino, and that exonerates him from getting Malkus. Okay, maybe that's a din in the case of Ones. How does Ula derive Kol HaTorah Kula from this Gzeirah Shavah? Usually Gzeirah Shavah is different than a Tzad HaShavah. Gzeirah Shavah means we derive A from B or B from A, and both, actually we derive both in both directions, and each parasha sheds a light on the other parasha, but it doesn't mean that we can create a binyan av. And and here we have two different gersos. I'm explaining the Gemara based on our gersa. Our gersa says af kol hecha, etc. That based on this gezeirah shavah, Ula universalized this to all cases, and that in all cases of moment of malchus you get moment and you don't get malchus. And the question is how do we justify that gersa? Rashi in fact seems to have that gersa, that as a general universal rule, Ula derives from tachas, that whenever there's a chiv moment and a chiv malchus, you pay the moment and you don't get malchus.
But isn't there also a rule that says that all chayv malchus, if they don't get the malchus, they get chorus, and there's another rule that says, doesn't it? Say
no, I think the other way around. All chayv krisus, if they don't get chorus, they get malchus. Let's say there was asra for malchus.
You know, you don't get malchus. I mean, you don't get chorus. You can't. How can you know that?
That whenever the Torah says you get kares, that I think there are 36 cases, if I'm not mistaken, where the Torah says you get kares, yeah. If there was you can't get malchus without asra, but if there was asra for malchus, you get malchus. But again, we're not talking about that now. We're talking about mammon.
Yeah, but that's what I was asking about, because.
Well, which case do you have in mind?
There's another rule that says chayvei grisos in a mishalmei.
Again, that's according to Rabbi Nachum ben Akana.
Yes.
So let's say if you had a chayv krisus where you had asra from malchus. Remember we discussed yesterday a person who throws a chetz
right. From
tchilas dal to sof dal on Yom Kippurim.
Right.
So he would have now a chiv malchus and a chiv mamon.
Right.
And according to Ula, in such a case, he would pay for damages and he doesn't get malchus, even though he had asra from malchus. Why? Because the principle that we're deriving from the parsha of Chovel b'chaver, which says tachas asher. What does it say? The ayin tachas ayin is that in general, whenever the Torah has two punishments in store for you, mammon and malchus, you're going to pay the mammon and you're not going to get malchus. The question that we were asking is, what justifies that universality, so to speak, the ability of Ula to universalize this and go beyond these two cases? We have case number one is chavola. Case number two is ones. And in both cases, the Torah says tachas. And that teaches you that he pays whatever he has to pay. In the case of Onis, he pays Chavishim Shkolim. And in the case of Chavol, he pays the five categories Chavolah. But in both cases, despite the violation of a law, there's no Malchus. And even in the case we had Asra for Malchus, he won't get Malchus because he's going to write out a check. How does Ula know that that applies way beyond the confines of these two cases? And he creates this universal principle that whenever there's an overlap of Malchus and Mammon, you pay the Mammon and you don't get Malchus. Maybe the Torah is telling you with this tachas that it applies to these two cases and only these two cases. So this, my friends, is the subject of Tosfos Dibra Maschil Ella Ula. You see such a Tosfos?
Yeah.
And basically he writes that according to the Maskon of the Gemara, that Ula derives his conclusion from Gzeirah Shavah. Ula is of the opinion that whenever there's a Chiv Malchus and a Chiv Mammon and they overlap, he doesn't get Malchus. Says Tosfos, that only applies to three cases. Mm-hmm. Number one, to Chovel. Number two, to Tatum Zobah. Number three, to Onis. Not like other Rishonim, Rashi and the Ritva and others who learn that Ula set up a universal rule going beyond these cases based on the Gzeirah Shavah of Tachas. And the question is, I understand Tosfos very well, but how do I understand the other Rishonim? In fact, the Girsa of the Gemara according to the Ritva is af hocha deika mamona umalkus. He doesn't have the words kol hecha. Instead of kol hecha, he has hocha, meaning in the case of ones. So we have now Tosfos, and we have a new girsa, which is the girsa of the Ritva, and both of them will limit the application of Ula's rule of mama mishalim vel milka lo laki to these specific cases where basically the Torah spelled out that he pays mama. In the case of Edom Zom, the Torah says v'asisim lo kasher zomam. In the case of Chavola, the Torah says ayin tachas ayin, you have to pay. And in the case of Onis, but by virtue of the Gzeir Shavah Tachas Tachas, the Torah is telling you you have to pay the Knas and you don't get Malkus. Again, that doesn't mean that every parsh, every case in the, you know, that we can exhaust the entire parsh of Onis by applying U's rule. The normal case of Onis is she's a Pnuya. And if she's a Pnuya, there's no Chiv Malkus. But we're going according to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah at the very beginning of Elunaris establishes that even when he gets Malkus, because he violated a law, like the case of Mamzeres, he still pays Knas. Comes on Ula and he says he pays the Knas, and he doesn't get Malkus. Why doesn't he get Malkus? Because of this Gzeres Shav of Tachas Tachas. But again, as I said to you before, we're really in the dark in terms of our gears. So the gears that we have is Kol Hecha De'ika Mamona Umalkus Mamona Mishalim Umilka Lo Loki. What's the mechanics of that drasha? We have now a Gzeres Shavah. We're not dealing with a Binyan Av. You know, if you have a Binyan Av, you say Kol Hecha. But if you're only dealing with a Gzeres Shavah, you don't apply the principle of Kol Hecha. So I just want to read to you. We should really photocopy this, a summary of the Masifta does an overview of a number of the Rishonim in Shita Mekubetzes. Again, if we have time, we go through the Shita Mekubetzes, but he says the following, that originally the Gemara wanted to derive Ula's principle from a Binyan Av, and the first case that the Gemara, the first test case, so to speak, was Chovel Bechavero. So what was the pircha against Chovel B'chavero? That Chovel B'chavero, the Torah was machmir and imposed the chiv of chamisha dvar, correct?
Yeah.
Or if we go the opposite way and we assume that Mamon is lekula, then Chovel has a kula of hutar michlola. So now Binyan Av, that midah of a Torah Nidreshes Pem, is a dud. It leads us to a brick wall because we have a pircha on the Binyan Av. The great midah of Gzeres Shavah is much more powerful and far-reaching than Binyan Av. Why? Because now we're going to use Chovel B'chavero as the source for other cases, and we're not going to be able to create a pircha and say, wait a minute, maybe the Torah is being machmir in Chovel because the unique nature of Chavola that Yechayv Chamishah Dvar. Maybe the Torah is being mekil in Chovel because Chovel is Huta Mechlolo. Those pirchos now fall by the wayside. What changed? What was the pivotal change? The transition from a Binyan Av to a Gzeres Shavah. Whereas a Binyan Av is vulnerable to Pirchos, a Gzeres Shavah is not vulnerable to Pirchos. A Gzeres Shavah is like the Torah is saying exactly what it means to tell you. And the Torah is saying that you should equate these two cases. And if you equate these two cases, you come to the conclusion that Mamona Mishalma and Milka Lo Lucky, not just in the case of Chavola because of the unique features of Chavola, this or that, but rather because of the Gzeres Shavah called Tachas Tachas. How does that help us understand the move, so to speak, of Ula to broaden the scope of Mamona Mishalim Milka Lo Lucky to all cases where there's an overlap of Mamon and Malkus? How do we know that? Right? It's only Tachas Tachas. So to understand this, we would really have to do a study in Gzeres Shavahs. There's something called a Gzeres Shavah Mufna L'Shnei Tzadim. Now when it's Mufna L'Shnei Tzadim, then we have the right to universalize the principle derived from the Gzeres Shavah. We're not limited to those two cases. So for that you have to go through the Shittim Gubetzes and in the Encyclopedia Talmudit. He has an erech that's dedicated to Gzeres Shavah, and I don't remember, I think it's about 5 pages long, and that's where he gets into this whole issue of Mufna and how far we can go in the expansion of this Gzeres Shavah.
So Mufna means that whatever the Gzeres Shavah is using is not needed in any other context.
Right, in both cases, whether it's the case of Chavola, uh-huh, where it says Ayin Tachas Ayin, or whether it's the case of of Ones, where it says Lo Silino Tachas Asherino, the Torah could have omitted the word Tachas. Now all this is Ula. My goal for today is to get to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afilu Och Achoso Nara. There's no need to introduce a reinterpretation of the Mishnah in Makkos and tell me that the Mishnah in Makkos, which says that you get Malkus, is talking about some unusual case, right? If we go back to Ula, so Ula Lishitaso, who he thinks that our Mishnah in Ksubis is really setting the pattern for a moment of Malkus, that you pay for the Knas and you don't get Malkus. So what does Ula do with the Mishnah in Makkos? So that we saw back on Daf Lamed Beis Omid Aleph. Lo kasha kan bebal achoso nara v'kan bebal achoso bogeres. In other words, in the Mishnah in Makkos, we're talking about a bogeres, and as a result of the fact that we're talking about bogeres, there is no knas, because the whole parasha of Ones is predicated on the fact that she's a nara. That's how the Torah says it. So Ula says that the Mishnah in Makkos is talking about a case of Achoso Bogeres, and according to Ula, if we don't impose the Chiyuv Mamon, then what pops out from the shadows? The Chiyuv Malkus. And that's exactly why the Mishnah says to get Malkus. Rabbi Yochanan says, you don't have to introduce a Bogeres into the picture. Nowhere does the Mishnah in Makkos indicate that we're talking about a Bogeres, and therefore Afilu Teima Achoso Nara. Even if I go back to my original premise, not Ula's premise, that the Mishnah in Makkos is talking about a Nara, nevertheless, I can justify why there's Malkus and no Mamon. Kan shehisrubo, kan shelo hisrubo. That the Mishnah in Makkos is talking about a case where he got Asra, and once he gets Asra from Malkus, he's going to be Chayv Malkus. Alma Kasav Rav Yochanan Kol Hechadik Abav to Malkus V'Asrube LeMalkus is Milka Loki Mamona Lo Mishalim. So Rav Yochanan says Pung Faker from Ula. Rav Yochanan says when there's an overlap between Mamona and Malkus, you get Malkus. That's the punishment that the Torah, and he's going to derive from Psukim. That's the punishment that the Torah wants to impose, even if it means forfeiting the Mamon. Again, there'll be exceptions to the rule in the cases of Chavola, Edom Zomimim, and perhaps Ones Umafate. However, the Mishnah in Ksuvis, which says that he pays and he doesn't get Malkus, and that seems to undermine the entire structure or principle of Rabbi Yochanan, that we make him suffer the Malkus and we exempt him from paying the fine. And now he's saying that our Mishnah at the beginning of the third parak of Ksubis is telling me just the opposite, that instead of Malkus we're going to make him pay the Knas. So what are we going to do with our Mishnah? And the answer is the Lo Hisru Bo, that technically speaking there is no Malkus here, because there's no Malkus without what? Without Asra. And he didn't get Asra. That was the case. Again, it's a little bit of an Ukimta, but it's a little better than Ula of introducing Bogeres. Again, Ula introduces Bogeres in the Mishnah in Makkos, and Rabbi Yochanan is introducing Lo Hisrubo in the Mishnah in Ksubis. Do we understand that? Should I go over that one more time? It's mathematical, but it's very simple. I'm very bad at mathematics, but this one I can understand. So again, both Ula and Rabbi Yochanan are going to need to activate what we call an ukimta, and define and restrict the Mishnah to a certain specific scenario, which again is not, you know, it's not always the best thing to do, but in this case there's an open, explicit contradiction between two Mishnahs. Both Mishnahs are talking about the exact same case, it seems, again until Ula and Rabbi Yochanan do their magic. And in both, and the Mishnah comes to the opposite conclusion in these two Mishnahs. In the Mishnah in Ksubis, in the case of Baal Achoso, it says that he pays the Knas. In the Mishnah in Makkos of Baal Achoso, it says he gets Malkus. So Ula is going to have a problem with the Mishnah in Makkos. Why should he get Malkus? When the rule of Ula is that Kol Hechadik Mamon Malkus is Mamon Mishalim Milka Lo Loki. So why isn't he getting? Why isn't he getting? Did I say Mamonu Mishalim? I meant to say Mamonu Mishalim. Mamonu Mishalim Milka Lo Lati. So now we have a problem with the Mishnah and Makkah. So we're gonna have to Zetzarayim. We need an Ukimta for the Mishnah and Makkah. So what's the Ukimta? The Mishnah and Makkah is it's a case of a Bulgaris and not an Arab. So you have that. Ula is compelled to introduce a very narrow kind of Ukimta in the case of the Mishnah Makkos, because the Mishnah Makkos is really a thorn in his side, because according to Ula, Mamona Mishalim Milkalo Laki. So the Mishnah Ksubis is very smooth. On the contrary, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's the Mishnah Makkos that's giving me a headache, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, when you have both Mamona, right? So just one second, did I get that right? I'm sorry, I got a
problem here.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had a little bit of flash of exhaustion. I'm sorry. I'm up since some crazy hour today. So wait a minute, let me just get this in. According to Ula, we don't understand the Mishnah and Makkos. According to Rabbi Yochanan, we don't understand the Mishnah and Ksubas. That's what I meant to say. I'm sorry. Why is the Mishnah in Ksubas problematic from Yochanan? Because from Yochanan's principle is Malke Milka Laki Mamona Lo Mishalim, and yet the Mishnah in Ksubas says Balacho, so he pays the Knas. Why should he pay the Knas when he gets Malke? So the answer is there was no Asro. Okay, that's the Ukimta of Rabbi Yochanan for the Mishnah in Ksubas. There was no Asro,
and you don't need Asro for Mamona.
Oh yeah, that's an interesting point. Why don't you need Asra for Mamon? So the answer is depends. If you're talking about Boshes Upagam, Boshes Upagam is Nezikin. We don't need Asra for Nezikin. It's a monetary chiyuv that I pay you for compensation. If you're talking about the Knas itself, then you could raise the question, well, you know, is he punished for the Avera, and therefore we need Asra?
Knas is not a punishment.
Yeah, that's what you're going to have to say. The Knas is not exactly an onesh. It's a payment. It's not a payment of mammon, but yet it's not a corporeal punishment which requires asra. It's a penalty which, again, it's not a double. It's not a replacement or a compensation for loss. But on the other hand, it's not a corporeal punishment that would require a hasra. Yeah. Well, let me just think about that. What's the purpose of hasra? If we assume the purpose of hasra is lavkin bein shogig umezid, so in this case, maybe he was a shogig. What's the din in a case of a ma'anis b'shogig? Does he pay the knas? I'm assuming he does pay the knas. Just one second. What are we talking about? We want to know why he doesn't get Malkus. Rabbi Yochanan says he doesn't get Malkus because there's no Asra for Malkus. But you're asking, well, why don't we require Asra for Knas in general? I mean, we don't require Asra for Knas because Knas, let's leave it at this stage. Maybe we can get something more profound, but Knas is not a physical punishment. When we have a physical punishment, yeah, but you're going to ask me, but maybe he was a shogeg. I'll prove to you, l'chora, that the knas is not a result of an avera per se. It's not a punishment, because in the case of Mafata, she was a consenting adult, right? And yet he pays knas. So we see that knas is not a punishment. I mean, he's not aggressively, or what word should I use, victimizing her. He's not. This is not a rape situation where you could say that let's tar and feather him. It's a pitui situation. So they're two consenting adults, and yet the Torah says you pay knas. I would say that knas is not a punishment for an avera per se. Do I have a proof of that? Let's just think. Like, let's say Shloshim Shel Eved, if my shor kills your Eved, obviously I'm going to pay that knas of Shloshim even without Asra. So you can ask me, well, maybe there's an avera here, you didn't watch his shor properly. There's definitely something not kosher going on. He had a certain obligation to watch and protect his shor. But I wouldn't say that the tashlumin is b'toras onish. It's not a punishment per se. And therefore you don't need a hasro. Again, you're going to ask me what happens in the case of shogging, and at this point I'm going to say that he has to pay even in the case of shogging. So Yosef, you could write down that question and we'll put it in the back burners and maybe we'll come back and investigate it at some other time. But you're definitely correct. You don't need a hasra for onus umafata to pay the 50 shekel.
And the heitashlumim for nezek, you need a hasra for that?
No. Once again, because that's tashlumei nezikin. Tashlumei nezikin never requires hasra. In fact, in the case of Adam Amazik, he might be even chayev for an ones situation. I mean, that's machlokes rishonim, but certainly he's chayev for a shogeg situation. So if I break your kalim and I didn't think it was your kalim, I have to pay you for that. Whereas in the case of Asra, clearly if I thought this was my wife or something like that, then without Asra, I'm not liable. Again, as amazing. Alma kasov Rabbi Yochanan kol hechadika momenu malchus v'yasu be is milka loki monolo v'shalim mina leil Rabbi Yochanan ha. Now I'm not sure if the Gemara means by minole that Rabbi Yochanan must have had some source in order to counter the gzeirah shava of tachas tachas. Again, that may get us back to machlokes. What exactly is tachas tachas? Is it a universal principle that applies whenever there's an overlap of chiyuv moment and malchus, or does it only apply to that case of onus and mafata? So according to Ula, let's say in the case of Onis, he was Ma'anis' Mamzeris, let's say, and he got Asra for Mamzeris. So according to Ula, he would not be Chayiv Malkus. According to Rabbi Yochanan, he would be Chayiv Malkus. The only reason in the case of Mamzeris, the Mishnah says he pays the Knas is because there was no Asra for Malkus. So now the Gemara is asking, Minole l'Rabbi Yochanan ha? How does Rabbi Yochanan know that in the case of Malkus and Mama, we give the Malkus and we don't force you to pay? So he writes here that Rabbi Yochanan sover she'onesh mamon who kal the onesh Malkus, and therefore when there's an overlap we have to give him the more chomer onesh, which is Malkus. But if that be the case, so why does Gemara say minole l'Rab Yochanan ha? So he writes, this is a problem. Even it's exacerbated by the fact that the Gemara in the Ula, the Gemara said minayin l'Ula. Apparently, the Gemara thought that logically, in a case of an overlap of Mammon and Malkus, you should get Malkus. So how did Ula come up with his breakthrough shita that you get Mammon? And now the Gemara is asking the exact opposite question. How does Rabbi Yochanan know this? We just established that al pi svara you get Malkus. So Rabbi Yochanan is only reflecting the svara. So he says here, in the name of the Tosa Rosh, Yesh lomer di omnom mitzad ha-svara tzarech liel she'yilke v'lo yishalem. Again, that's problematic because we said we don't know which is more chomer, Mammon or Malkus. But in any event, is Hikshasa Gemara Liel? That's why the Gemara asks on Ula, objecting to Ula, because how could Ula say that you get Mammon and not Malkus? Ela Shami Acha Shomra Gemara Shula Lomad Zos Migzereshova Tachas Tachas Shalosa Gemara Ata Madua Lo Ata with an iron, right? Madua Lo Lomad Kane Gam Rabbi Yochanan. In other words, what's Rabbi Yochanan going to do with this Gzereshova? So let's see if we can understand that in the light of the answer. The Gemara says, Omar Kra, so this is the parasha of Malkus, which is in Kitetse, and the Torah says, V'ayom ben hakos ha-rosha, v'yipilo ha-shofet v'yikol l'fon of k'day rishosu v'mispar. So in the parasha of Malkus, there are two extra words here, k'day rishosu. Now, the word Rish'aso is in the singular. So says Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Risha Achas Atom Chayvia, that you're only going to get punished for one Risha, and here you overlap two Rishos, but in punishment, we're going to only give you a punishment for one Risha. And that's considered Kidei Rish'aso. But now again, I understand that we're going to give him one punishment, but which of the two punishments should we give him? And the answer is that the very next pasuk says, Samech le arboim yakenu, that he gets 40 mal. So Rabbi Yochanan learns from this that when he has a chiv mamon, and in addition to the chiv malkus, and he can't be mechayev in both, is then he should get malkus, and he doesn't pay the mamon. So in a certain sense, this is a sad day for the anusa, if you follow what I mean. If there was asra, then the anusa is going to collect absolutely nothing. Maybe it's an even sadder day for her father, because the avi anara is the one who collects the knas, and now that we're giving malchus, you see, also this comes back to your moral question that you asked. Why does she have to take a loss because we're beating him up blue in the, you know, black and blue?
What does she get,
you know,
for that?
What does she get out of that? It doesn't warm up. So that's a general question that really touches, as I told you yesterday, on the sugya of mamon lezeh u'misa lezeh. And the question is, what would Rava say? But again, you know, we always have to come back to the paradigmic mission in Bava Kama of Amad L'Kedisha Shal Chaver B'Shavus, and it says Potter. So this guy is a scoundrel. He blew, he burnt down my haystack. I'm in a loss of 5,000 shekel, and my whole parnas is going down the tubes. And this guy is gonna get beaten up, and therefore I don't have the ability to collect from him. So we have to keep in mind that there's a chiv bidei shamayim. That even in Kimlev the Rabbimine, there's a chiv bidei shamayim. Now I don't know that that applies to Mamon and Malkus. I'm going to assume it does until I know otherwise. Now, you may ask the following question. We're about to beat this guy up, and he has a chiv b'dei shamayim to pay up. What's going to force him to pay up? Do you hear my question? He's not interested in b'dei shamayim. The man just got asra, and he went ahead and he had a beer with Mamzeres's halbatzar. I mean, the Mishnah says he had a beer with Achosa, and now we're going to tell him that you should be paying the knas because of a chiyuv bidei shamayim, or paying onus what it's called, boshes upagam. You know, who are you talking to? Okay, so you can say that after the malchus he became a tzaddik. He did tshuva, and he said vidui, and he became a tzaddik. So, but what I would say is tzarech iyun, but maybe she could grab something from his possession. That's called tfisa. So if I can borrow your gemara for a minute, because this doesn't go too far, I'll just show you a gemara about tfisa. Again, the gemara is talking about a case of bavel. In bavel, we have a principle of ein magbinin knosos ben bavel. So imagine in bavel, if a man rapes a woman and she's a nara, the courts are not authorized to force him to pay this ones, because ones is a knas, and a knas is ein magbinin knosos ben bavel. We need what's called a bezin shel smuchin. This is a little complicated for me. Do you have a regular gemara ksubas by any chance? All right, I'll figure that. I just have to get oriented here with all the English. Gemara ksubas. Say, so, yeah, let me give this back to you.
Right behind you, exactly.
This one?
Yep.
Now, again, I'm not sure that this will solve your problem, but if I'm right, then it goes a long way towards solving your problem. Yeah, the Gemara here, I think, is on Daf Mem. Let's see if I can find it. See if we can find it. That's the challenge. You have to remember where it is. And the Gemara, if you can do a word search quickly, it's here on Daf Mem somewhere, is Ein Magbinin Knasa Bavel. Let's see if I can find that. I'm getting close. It's on Daf Mem Aleph. Oh, here it is. Mem Aleph Amid Beis. You have that? So the Gemara says about just about 10 lines before the end of the Perek. And the Gemara says, Hai Kalba the Ochal Imri, Mishuna the Ochal Tarnagoli, Tarnagoli Rabbi, Mishuna, Velomag Bina Bababa. So this is what's called Palgan and Iska Knossa. And the Gemara says that in Baba we have no authority to impose Chatzi Nezek. Now, Chatzi Nezek Knossa is quite common. And again, in the Gemara's time, we applied it to animals. I mean, today you could apply it to many different objects. And until it's a muad, you pay chatzi nezek. And we have no authority, says the Gemara, to impose that payment in bubble because we don't have smukh. Bubble here is indicative of all bat din. But then the Gemara says, v'i tofas lo mafkina mine. So imagine if Reuven owes Shimon Chatzi Nezek, which is a knas, because the Gemara now is holding Palgan and Iska Knasa. The Beis Din, right? So Shimon now is at loss because he just lost Palgan and Iska because there are no smukhim in Bavel, and he has no recourse to go to the Dayanim because the Dayanim have no authority in Bavel; they don't have a smicha. But what recourse, what sort of safety valve, so to speak, does Shimon have? Itofas lo mafkina mine. If he grabs on to the possession of Reuven, the Mazik, up until the price of Chatzi Nezek, again, he can't empty him out from everything. So lo mafkina mine. We don't take it away from him. So I didn't get a chance to learn this sugya yet, but you have to take a look here at Gimel. He tells you to look in Hilchos Sanhedrin, Perkei Halacha Yud Zayin. So in the case of Ones U'Mafata, you know, we were talking about a case where the Ones is potter because he's Chayav Malkus, and we say Lo Kaveinu Mishalim. That's in a case where he had Asra, and we passing like Rabbi Yochanan, that he gets Malkus and he doesn't have to pay. So why does she have to lose the knas just because he's getting beaten up? And maybe the answer is that he toughens lo mafkina mine, that she can grab onto the knas, just like we say that ein govim knasas shebavavel, but yet he toughens lo mafkina mine. Maybe we can apply that to the case of onus and mafata as well. I mean, I would apply a kavlachomer. I mean, in the case of someone who didn't watch his shor, and his shor was Mazik Shimon. Shimon is allowed to grab on to Reuven's, I don't know what, you know, any object of value. It's how much more so in the case of an ones. I mean, the ones is not just, you know, the lack of shmirah. I mean, the man raped a woman. You know, let's be honest about it. Right? Let's call a spade a spade. So doesn't she have recourse to be tofah? Now, I would only ask another question. Tfisa only works for the Baal Dovar. So I don't know if the Av, maybe the father could do the Tfisa. I don't know if she could do the Tfisa. I mean, that's again, just food for thought.
Why she could make the Tfisa for the shame of the Av?
That's what I don't know. That's an interesting question. If you would be Tofes on behalf of the father, then Mafkina Mine, we'd take it out. There's no Shlichus here. It's Ein Chovin Liadam. You know, you can't be a shliach, a self-appointed shliach, at the expense of someone else. But if she might be in the driver's seat here, because the deal is that if she becomes a bogeres, then right, she can sue him for the knas,
right,
and the father's out of the picture. Okay, So what does the Torah say immediately after Kedei Rishaso? It says Viko Lefanov, and that's the source for Malkus. So we have now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, a pasuk that says Rishaso in the singular, which means we have to give him one punishment. And V'samachle, immediately afterwards, it says Arboim Yakenu, which is the punishment that the Torah specifies? Malkus, Arboim Yakenu. So therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, whenever there's a Chiv Mamon, in addition to the Chiv Malkus, you don't pay for that, because the Torah says Arboim Yakenu. So now the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question, but what about Chovel B'Chavero? That's an overlap between Mamon and Malkus. And yet the Torah says, Mamona Mishalim Ilkalo Loki. That clearly undermines Rabbi Yochanan. In fact, that was the source, the original attempt to bring a source for Ula. V'chite mahani mili hecha dolo asrube. Maybe the case in which the Torah specifies that he gets, that he has to pay the five categories of Tashlumei Chavala, is a case where there was no Malkus. A little bit odd, you know, that the parsha says that he has to pay these five, you know, shifto yite v'rapi rape, oh, because there was no malchus. Right, nishkefelach. I mean, the Mishnah, the parsha in the Torah doesn't have to address the issues of kim lev the rabbi. You know, the parsha has to tell you that you have to pay these payments, and then we have to see what other punishments you might be chayav. I mean, that's again a different parsha. That's Kedei Rishaso. But in the parsha of Chavol itself, the Torah doesn't have to get into the question of whether or not there's Malkus that would knock off Mamon. The Torah has to tell you that there's Mamon. And when would it be Mamon? In Lo Asrube. Oh, so now we're going to say the following. Aval Asrube Milke Loki Mamon Lo Mishalim. That makes a lot of sense. According to Rabbi Yochanan, we had this Kedei Rishaso with Arboim Yakenu. So the case of Chavala would have to be a case where there was no Hasra for Malkus. If there were a Hasra for Malkus, he would not pay. Affecting Gemara of Omer of Ami, Omer of Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan himself says, he ko hakosha ein bo shove pruta loke. So what are you going to tell me now, that if there was no Asra, if there was Asra, he doesn't have to pay the Mamon because he gets Malkus? Here's a case where he gets Malkus and he doesn't pay. So why is it a cash? I hate you don't. Let's see. Idolo asrube. If there was no asra, my loke. Right? It says explicitly in the name of Yochanan that in this case he gets Malkus. As I state, it says loke. So it must be there was asra. Help she did asrube. Now does he pay or does he not pay? So it says that it's Akosh Ein Bashava Pruta. It's when Mela there's no Tfiyas Mamon, and Pachas Bashava Pruta doesn't have a Shem Mamon. It's when Mela gets Malkus, implying that
if
it was Shava Pruta, we would switch it around the other way. This sounds like Ula. Just want to say, El Pshita the Asrube, it's time to the Lesbe Shava Pruta, Isle Shava Pruta. Ah, Mamon Mishalim, Vilaki. That's exactly what Ula would say. And apparently Rabbi Yochanan agrees to Ula. So how do we reconcile this? On the one hand, Rabbi Yochanan has this bombastic rule that in an overlap we give him Malkus. On the other hand, in the case of Chavola, he himself agrees that he pays the Mama. It's only in a case where the Mama was less than the Shava Pruta, then we give him Malkus, because there's no Mama to knock off the Malkus. But if there is Mamon, it's a Shava Pruta, then he pays the Mamon and he doesn't get Malkus. So I thought that this is a special case of Chavol. Oh, let's see. Not bad. I wasn't so far off. He says, Kida Omar Rabbi Ila. The Feirish Rips of Torah, Edim Zomel Tashlumin, the Hakanami, the Feirish Rips of Torah, Chavala Litashlumin, Chol Bechavim. Ah, so he's saying, I don't know why, you know, he's sort of hopping around a double answer to two questions. You know, we haven't even asked the question about Edim Zomim yet, but he's already bevarning that question, right? So what's he telling us? That the Feirish Rips of Torah. So we have now a new principle here called Beferish Ribs of Torah. Meaning, if we would apply the universal rule as we derived it from Kedei Rishaso and our Rav Yakenu, is then he should get Malkus and not pay Mammon. Here, in the case of Kavala, we're going to say just the opposite. He pays Mammon and he doesn't get Malkus. And why is that? Because Beferish Rips the Torah Chov v'Chaver l'Tashlumin. The Torah went out of its way to tell me that in the case of Chovel, you pay Tashlumin. Where that is, I don't know, but we'll get to that later on. Okay, then let's make a note that we got up to here because I want to go through the sugya of Zeok of Akir l'Tzorach Hanocha, and we'll put this on the side. Okay, then. Now, once again, as I said to you yesterday, there are two ways of doing this, and we'll try to do both simultaneously if we can. We can go through the text by Rikus, or we can summarize it. So I'm going to use the summary. I find that a little bit easier for myself. And what you want to do is look in the text itself. So the text itself is Kuf Chaf Tes. Os Kuf Chaf Tes. I'll tell you exactly what page that's on. Or maybe you'll tell me. I think it's on page Kuf Lamed Tes, which I think we photocopied yesterday. So if you're looking in the Gemara, right?
Kuf Lamed Tes.
Yeah. Let's go back to the Gemara for a second. I mean, we know it already by heart, but it's always a good idea to see it again. On Daf Lamed Aleph, Omer Aleph, the Gemara says that in the case of Chelev, he's going to pay for the Chelev. Why? Because he stole it at the time of the Hagbah. And he ate it later on. So the Gemara asks, well, what about the principle of the oven of Akir L'Tzorach Hanocha? The Gemara answers, Hasam, in the case of Akir and Hanocha, Yefshel Hanocha below Akir. Amal Hacha, Efshel Achila below Agbad, Yibayigachin V'Achil. So that's the first Lishna to explain why we don't apply the principle of Rabbi Ovin of Akira L'Tzorach Hanocha in the case of Hagbah, because he didn't really need the Hagbah, right? He could do without the Hagbah. So now let's see how we would interpret this Gemara according to the Ra'ah. And I'm assuming that you're following here in Kuf Chaf Tes, Os Kuf Chaf Tes on page Kuf Lamed Tes. So he says that according to the Ra'ah, what the Gemara is saying is that as far as Achnasa B'Piv is concerned, so that's E'efsha, correct? But as far as Hagbah is concerned, that's Efsha. Correct? So far so good? Everybody got that?
Because of Gachin V'Yachil.
Right, so as far as Hagbah, we have Gachin V'Yachil. As far as Achnos L'Peh is concerned, that would be a case of Yefshar. And as a result, he'd be Chayev, I'm saying we would apply Kim Leibid Ramaminei if he was Mazik someone at the time of Achnos L'Peh. Like, let's say, for example, I'm just giving you a theoretical example which you have to analyze, you know, with Shiva Nikiyu. Let's say, for example, he destroys the object when he puts it into his mouth.
Destroys the object, that means...
Meaning, what I mean by... I don't mean destroy literally, that it went up in smoke. What I mean by destroy is it's no longer edible.
So the truma, not the chelev.
Oh, you mean because chelev is mutva? No, you mean...
No, because...
Well, what?
It's not ruined when you put it in your mouth.
All right, I don't know. I don't want to get into that. Just all I'm trying to suggest is that if there would be a chiyuv moment simultaneous with achnasa u'piv, then we would apply the principle of Rabbi Ovin of akiru tzorchanoch because it's yefsh. That's all I meant to say. Okay, then. So again, he didn't swallow the chelev yet, but he put it into his mouth, and that already kicks off the kimlev d'rambam. Okay. Lefichach v'shas hachnos l'peh hishas hascholas chiv misa l'chiv lishna kama. Right? So now we're expanding the principle of chiv misa. We thought chiv misa applies to akira because according to the Ra'ah, the akira is part of the mechayev of meleches hotzah. If that be the case, then hachnos l'peh is not really part of the mechayev of chelev, because we need the bliya for that. But now we're expanding the definition of tchilas achiyuv, and we're applying it even to the case of achnasa lepiv through the principle of lo efsha.
And then you're doing this according to whom?
And this would be meaningful according to the Ra'oz definition of akir tzorch hanocha as the tchilas achiyuv. Now, as the Misa begins with the Akira, again, it's all conditioned on the fact that he completes it, but the kickoff is the Akira, and now we're saying that if it's impossible to swallow the Chelev without first putting it into your mouth, then putting it into your mouth itself is called the Tchilas Chiv Misa. And that's your expanded definition of Chiv Misa. So that Akira Tzorch HaNocha goes way beyond Akira Tzorch HaNocha. In the case of Akir Tzorch HaNocha, that's the Tchilas Achiyuv Misa because Akir is part of the Mechayev of Hotzah. In the case of Achilas Chelev, clearly Achnos Lepiv is not part of the Chiyuv Achilas Chelev, which is accomplished through Bliya. But nevertheless, we're going to expand that definition of Tchilas Achiyuv Misa to include Achnos Lepiv through the mechanism called E'efshah.
But then that knocks out the hagbah as the.
But in the case of hagbah is not the aschol sachiv because he can do without it.
Right.
Now the second lishna of the Gemara says that it depends upon whether it's matzi laduri or lo matzi. Right, the chetz case means he can't retract the chetz. So therefore, we're going to have to talk about a later moment of time for Kimlev D'Rami. It's not Achnos L'Piv, because at Achnos L'Piv he's able to what? To spit it out, right? He can still spit it out.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to get to the point of the Beis HaBliya that we spoke about. You remember where we said it's Lo Matzi L'Dure, the guy pushes it in there, talk of Lo and all that. But in that sugya we clearly had a concept called Lo Matzi L'Dure. So in the context of Chelev, we can have a situation of lo motzi ladure even before he actually swallows it.
Which is comparable.
So he's not really chayav for chelev, but we're going to apply the principle of akir tzorch hanocha. But again, how do we have the right to apply akir tzorch hanocha? Maybe he could cough it up.
Can't.
So it's not like the chetz, and the answer is he can't cough it up. And that's called lo motzi ladure. But he's going to offer another possible approach. And he says the following, that Achilas Chelev is not at all similar to Akir Tzorch HaNocha, because in the case of Akir Tzorch HaNocha, we're going to call it the Tchilas Chiv, because it's part of the Etzem HaMelach. In Chelev, the Melach itself, or the Aver itself, is the Bliya. And therefore, anything before the Bliya, even Achnos Lepiv is not part of the Malacha, so to speak, meaning the Machayev, the Avera. And therefore, he says the following, Avol Bechelev She'ikara Iser Hubanos Meov, Obanos Gronov, Is lu yitzuyu sheyaniach b'meyav. Right. He somehow the chalev goes all the way down in one fell swoop into his me'ayin, like we spoke about, you know, intravenous feeding. But I'm not talking about intravenous, but something similar to intravenous, and there was no bleir. So in such a case, he'd be chayev misa for the anos me'ayin. Again, assuming he set this up. Im kein. If that be the case, then the bleer itself is not part of the Iser. Elarak Maisa Avera. Remember we spoke about this, that the, you know, Rav Soloveitchik used to also talk about Maisa and Kiyum. Now we're talking about Maisa Avera and Chiyum Avera. He's saying that the Maisa Avera is the bleer. But the actual achievement of the Avera is suspended until he has Anos Me'ayin. In Kena Bleer,
that can't be.
Eina etzem achiyuv. It's only a maisa avera. Is lo amrinan de bliyah litzorach achila hafe.
Again,
well, I think he's offering two interpretations of the ra'ah. I don't know. Do you have kufchav tests? If you could.
Well, I'm looking at the summary, but I'm just trying to say.
Well, you're also looking at the summary. I was hoping that you would help me out here.
So he's saying that the achdas of the pen that you can't avoid. So that's a chelak me'achi of a ma'isa aveira. The bliya is not, because in theory I can somehow bypass swallowing right to the stomach, and then the me'ayim is part. So you have two bookends, so it doesn't matter. The bliya is still going to be a point to kumulat ra'amina. Because I started the Maisa there when it goes in the mouth. What's the difference whether the bleed is a Maisa
there? He's saying the following. If the Efshar is going to allow you to expand the concept of Aschol HaSachiyuv, then we can even go as early as Achnos HaBepeh,
right,
and trigger off Kimlei Ramini. But if the Ra'ah is understanding that what we need here is to establish Aschol HaSachiyuv being Dumya the Akira, meaning that it's part of the Mechayev, then we're not going to be able to achieve Kimlei B'Dramineh, even if we get to the point of Lo Motzi Ladure, and how much more so if we're only at the early stage of Hachnosa B'Peh.
Isn't this more the Rashba than it is the Rav?
Oh boy, the Rashba. Now you're forcing me to go over the Rashba. I don't mind. I should do a chazon the Rashba.
Making distinction between what is.
Let me just read the Rashba. Rashba Cholik is really the Afal Pisha Hechilo Chaim. Just 1 second. Is this the right Rashba? No. I think I'm on the wrong page over here.
Rashba, you have one page back.
Oh, is that it? That's the Rashba?
One page back on the bottom of the right column. Shita Sarashba.
Which page number?
It is on the summary pages. It's the Tezayin, the summary pages.
See, you're really messing me up here, Yechiel, by using the summary pages, because I need
I'm
you
cheating,
to...
I'm cheating, again.
Yeah, no, I'm also cheating, but I need you to back me up with where he fleshes it out. But okay, so let me do it your way, because I know exactly where the Rashba is here. I just, it should be on Kuf Sadi, just I'm sorry, I just want to, because I underlined the Rashba there, so I want to. Here it is, Kuf Tzadi Al. Right, in the text itself. Hashita Shni Shitas Arashba. Let's just see. Alright, let me just go through this very quickly. This is going to fluke me up. I just want to focus on the Ra'ah for a minute, but since you mentioned the Rashba, he says, Elohocha kira de milsa ikra de milsa lomadag bazu lav tzorch achila klal. You listen to the talk of the. I can't do this, Rav Moshe. If you want me to go through the Rashba, I need to be able to focus on the Rashba. I'm really at a crossroads here, you feel.
Don't go.
Let me leave the Rashba out.
It sounds like he's changing what he said before about the Ra'ah.
Could be you're right. I don't know. I'm going to just focus on what, because I'm really excited about understanding this as a separate entity. I don't know the different names and so forth. We have to attach them to the right sheet. You're right. But I just want to get the Etzem HaSvara here for a minute. So if you could remind me, just because I want to go through the original Rashba, so to speak, that's on Kuf Tzadi Aleph, if somebody can make a note of it. Because I'm holding here with all these, you know, the page...
Okay, let's go back to where we were. Now, what are you doing?
So he says the following.
You're skipping Bliya now.
We want to know, in these two Lashonos, what would be the kickoff of Kim Leibed Rami Minei in the case of Achilles Chelev? Now, the first approach is to say that the kickoff of Kim Leibed Rami Minei in these two Lashonos would either be A or B. A in the first Lashon, B in the second. A would be at the time of Hachnasa Lepiv, because that's called E Efshar, or B at the time of Lomotzi Ladure, because that makes it similar to the Chetz. Good? Mm-hmm. Now that's one approach. That approach, he says, is predicated on the Lundus of that any time that you begin a process that will ultimately lead you to a Chiyuv Misa. And again, according to the first Lishna, you've begun the process in a way that it's absolutely necessary. According to the second Lishna, you've begun a process that it's irrevocable, irreversible. That becomes the Tchilas Chiyuv Misa. That's one logical approach. The other logical approach is to be much more restricted, and you have to maintain the similarity, the profound similarity to Akira Tzorech HaNocha, which would require that the first pu'ula that kicks off Kimle Miramine be part and parcel of the Maisa Machayim. And in that case, he's saying that in Chelev you would never have a Kimle Miramine situation unless he would somehow damage someone at the time in which the Chelev went down to his Beis Ablia. I'm sorry, down to his Me'ayim, I meant to say. But anything before that is not part of the Maisa Machayev. So that Hachnos Lepiv for sure is not part of the Machayev in terms of the Chiyuv Misa. And even Lo Motzi Ladure, which is Bliya, might not necessarily be part of the Maisa Machayev. I mean, that has to be taken under advisement. But we need a stage afterwards. So, for example, if you would have a Me'ayim situation, which I call, just for my language, I call it intravenous feeding, which didn't go through the Beis Bliya, he would still be Chayev for Chelev. So that means that even Bliya itself is not part of the Maisa Machayev. Again, I don't want to get caught up in the nuances here right now. I just want to get the structure of what he's saying. There are two different approaches here, and then you work out who holds what, and you know, does the Rashba have both categories, only one? Does the Rashba have one category? But what we're saying is that in the context of the two radically different approaches to the Akira Tzorech HaNocha principle that kicks off Kim Levi Rami way before the Chiyuv, we can say it in one of two ways. We can say that there's Haskolas Chiyuv because of the action that somehow is very, very connected to the ultimate Chiyuv, and you have two Lashonos about how you mechanically achieve that goal. Either it's so connected that you can't avoid it, or we need an even a greater connection. It's at the point where you definitely, you're over the hill, you know, you're going to definitely fall down and be Chayav Misa. And now we have another different approach, a radically different approach. And he's saying now that what you need is the Mechayev Misa. He calls it the Chelek Mimalochim, Etzem HaMalochim, he calls it. So let's just see, it's on Kuf Chof Tes. I don't know why it starts with Akati Tzorech Iyun, just 1 second. I see. He's taking us back to that Sugya of Chelev. Oh, that's what he's saying. Right, so again, we're going back like 30 pages backwards here to Kuf Lamentes. We're really holding on Kuf Tzadi Beis. But if you go back to Kuf Lamentes, he says over there that the Ra'ah explains that according to these two Lashonos, is Hagbah is Lav Tzorech Achila. Because Efshel Achiyu Blog, but Achnosel Lepiv is Havi Shas Achnosel Leper is Shas Hascholas Achiyu, and the reason for that is he says Sharei Efshel Achiyu Blog Achnosel Lepiv. So now we're going with that category of Akirat Tzorech HaNocha, which means that we begin the process of chiyuv misa with any action that's absolutely necessary as a sine qua non. Aval lishna basri, he says, then hachdos lepiv is not enough to trigger off kimleib the ramina. It doesn't have enough of a connection to the chiyuv misa. Why? Because b'shas hachdos lepiv it's still motzi ladure. Then he goes on to say that at some point in the bliya process, it's lo motzi ladure. And according to Lishna Basra, that would be enough to set up Akira Tzar Chanocha and activate Kim Leib the Rabbini. That would be Bishas Bliya. Amal Bizman Shemunach Bepiv Lo Choshev Ascholah Sachiyu, because again, he can still regurgitate it. The Hod Depar Ah. And now we understand that the Gemara is going to object and say that if it's Motzi Ladurile, then there would be no Kimleib the Rabmine, and that goes according to Lishna Basra. Because if you go into according to Lishna Kama, then since Hachnasa Lepiv is already the kickoff of Haskalas Achiyuv, so who cares whether it's Motzi Laduri or not Motzi Laduri? He's way, way beyond that point of Hachnasa Lepiv. That's the Rashba that he's quoting here in the Sugya of Chelev, back on Daf Lamed. Okay, then, that's as far as this paragraph of Kuf Chav Tes is concerned. Okay, now, what did I want to study with you now? Just one second. Let me get my bearing here. Okay, so that we did yesterday. Okay. Okay. So now Rabosai, in the text itself, we're up to page Kuf Tzadi Vav, Oschaf Reish Lamed Daled, and if you have the summary page, we're on the bottom of page Yud Zayin. Are we shown in Pirshu, and the Lishna Basra says Lo Motzi Ladure, is Dafka Heiches Shelo Yochel LaHachzir Samaisa LiAcher Akira? Then he's part of the Shirayim. Kigom Zorik Chetz, but Kshi Yochel LaHachzir Samaisa Kigom Mamaver Sakin, the Yochel Shelo Ligmar Savera Havara, which is the Avera, right? Is Chayav Al Shirayim. Hakronim Kosu Kama Taimim Ledinze. So now we're looking for the lundis of the Lishna Basra Lo Motzi Ladure. What does Lo Motzi Ladure accomplish? So the first explanation, I think, is intuitive. And he says the following, that we need one Maisa in order to set up Kim Levi the Ramine. We need that he's Chayev Misa and Chayev Mamon together with one Maisa. So Bezorek Chetz, we view it as one long Maisa until he's finally Chayav Misa, but it's one continuous Maisa. The Maisa is not limited to the moment of Hanofa, but rather begins with the moment of Akira of Zrika, and that's because he's already set a process into motion, and once you set a process into motion, it's all one continuous Maisa. Bumishum Hachi Potter Al Hashirayim. Wait a minute, I skipped a few words. What is the Acher Kach Onus? Just one second. But I'm not sure what he means by that. Maybe we'll come back to it soon. Avol B'mavir, if he's holding on to a sakin, then the Chiyuv Mamon is B'shas Kriya. The Chiyuv Misa will be Vishas Hanocha, and there's no Bevasachas, and we don't view the Havara Sakin as one continuous Maisa, one single indivisible Maisa. And the reason for that is because at any point he can stop.
I think that maybe what he's saying about the honest is that the mere fact that I can't prevent the cutting of the shiraim, I'm an honest in that regard.
Right. Maybe that's what he means.
I can't be the moment for something I'm an honest for.
He doesn't mean honest for Rahman Patri. Yeah. He's just, like, I think, demonstrating. Yeah. Okay. Now, he wants to offer a second approach. And this is Reish Lamed. I'm not sure if that's a hey. I think that's Reish Lamed hey. So let's see what that is. Reish Lamed hey. Oh, that's on page Kuf Tzadi Zayin. Okay, then. So we did now what? Reish Lamed. What was the number I told you we were doing now? Reish Lamed Dal. Okay, so we did Reish Lamed Dal. And then we want to move on to Reish Lamed Hei. He calls it Derech Yosef Pshuta, which I'm not sure exactly why, but that's what he calls it. So he says the following: L'shitas Hara'o D'din Akira Tzorach Hanochu Akira Shichelik Michiyuv Amisa Yesh Lomar D'gamal Lishna Basra Modil Azeh. So why are we knocking off the Hagbah? Raktis really the Efshar Lakshivo Kimaskil Lishayev Misa Elba Ofich Sofa Maisa Ain't Tol Yosef Birtsono is Ain't Sokomkhashid Divina Maisa Echot. Okay, I don't see that this is so radically different, but let's just, find the nuances and differences the following. That until now what we said is that the Lishna Basra requires one continuous Maisa in order to set up a Chiyuv of Misa and Mamon Bevasachas together. So we need one continuous Maisa. Now he's suggesting that the Lishna Basra didn't go that far, but the Lishna Basra is saying that he Ein Omer Efshar, excuse me, Lachshivo Kimaskil Lischayev Misa Elvi Ofich Sofa Maisa Ein Toli Beretzono.
Starts a process that he's no longer in control of.
Right.
Yeah, but Sofa Maisa is beyond.
In other words, instead of looking at the physical action as we did before, and we said the physical action begins with Akira and it's gonna the chetz is gonna land. What now he's saying something else, that although that piece about onus really sounds very similar, but he's saying now that if the chiyuv misa no longer depends upon his ratzon, then we could say that the haschalas chiyuv misa is the zrika itself.
Which does
okay, I don't know if he's developing any nafkaminis here, that I don't
know. Sounds like another way of saying the same thing.
It's very, very similar, right. But I think in the first case, he's sort of setting up a physical continuity. You know, it's like you have a conveyor belt. So the moment you press the button, you know, the whatever you put on the conveyor belt is going to end up at the end of the belt, or wherever it has to get to, it's going to fall into a box. But here he's saying a little bit different. He's saying that if you have an Avera, and you know, every Avera requires a Ratzon. If the Ratzon could be supplied at one moment, then that's considered Tchilas Achiyuv if I don't need that Ratzon at the second moment. And the reason I don't need that Ratzon at the second moment is because you already accomplished your Ratzon the very moment that you set it out.
Right.
So I'm emphasizing these words, Eino Tol Yosef Beretzono. And again, if you can go through the text of the original, you'll see if that's what he says. I'm just giving you a short summary of it.
But the ratzon you're talking about here is the ratzon to continue the action going.
Correct.
Not talking about the mezid and shogeg.
It could be related to mezid and shogeg in the sense that I don't need your kavanas mezid for the entire trip, the entire flight of the Zrika. I don't know, but for that, you might want to look in the. Then he says the following: the shitas hatos the din akir tzorch hanocha hu chiyuv misa befal. Why? Because we're setting up this tokidei dibur alocha. Yeshlom desfila lishna basra the dafka heichashi efshal adurei chashiva anocha kivas achas im chiyuv mamon. Okay, that's a good chazara for us. So right, the whole goal here of Akir Tzorch Hanoch is to set up a Vas'achas, and we're only going to say that in the case of Zrikas HaChetz, because then the Chiv Misa is immediately preceded by the Zrikas HaChetz. And what creates that connection between the two? The fact that the Chetz is on its way and it's going to land. You know, that's inevitable. But anything other than the inevitability is going to set up a bazach or zeh instead of a vasachas. Now, bezorik chetz moda lishna basra dafilu heichad matzi ladure amrinan akira tzorach anocha came the eno osa achkach od maise biyadayim. So this is Reish Lamed Vav. Let's see. This sounds very fascinating. Where is Reish Lamed Vav? Just one second. Oh, here it is. I am Betruva Sakri. Truva Sakri, I think, was somebody's brother-in-law. Who's the brother-in-law of the Shach or something? Anyway, the Truva Sakri says the following. La viro biyodo ad sof dalet amis. This is a case where he's chayev, I think, for shirayim. There's no kimla in rabbi. He's talking about a sakin, I think. Let's see if I'm right. Begonev chelbo ochlo liachar agbo. So there's another action. Ubagonav Kiso, Motsiacha Kaklush Srabiod, Aval Hechadalo Ovid Maisibiadayan, Gonzorik Chetz, Afilbi Ofen Shiochalama Hadir Amrinon. Akirat Sorcha Nocha. So what's the case he has in mind here? Do you hear this? Let's get the theoretical structure here. He's saying that, let's say, you would have a situation where Enochinami, he could stop in the middle and arrest the process. That's called Yochel Adure. But if he allows the process to continue and he doesn't exercise his rights or his ability to rescind and to terminate, he doesn't have to do anything at all. He wants to suggest that in such a case, even according to Lishna Basra, we would apply the principle of Akirat Tzorach HaNocha. So in other words, in the case of Zrikas HaChetz, there's no way he can get the Chetz back. But even if theoretically he could get the Chetz back, that would still become Akirat Tzorach HaNocha. The second Lishna is only coming Lafuke, those cases where he has to continue his action. For example, if he steals chalev, he has to continue his action even after he steals the chalev, and he has to eat it. If he steals his friend's wallet and he has to take it out into Rishus HaRabim, he's going to have to continue this maisa until he finally lands it down in Rishus HaRabim. But in the case of Zorek Chetz, he doesn't have to follow up with a maisa. And therefore, even though he's totally passive, he set into motion the chiyuv, then we're going to apply kimli rabin, and it's irrelevant as to whether or not he can stop the chetz or not. And even if he can stop the chetz, as long as he doesn't have to do anything befall, and he can complete his chiyuv misa, then we would apply the principle akir tzorach hanocha, even according to Lishna Basra. So now I'm wondering what the nafkamina is going to be. Well, if you follow, so the Truma Sakri is radically changing our understanding of the sugya. Well, if he zeres ishvarish bezrikas chetz lovina klal, the came of the shnei yuvim bom al maisa echad, yishaper havi kimlev the rami. I forgot the matzila dure. Heichad the lo matzila dure. Heichad the lo matzila mehedule. Hu ha-maisa shebetchila.
That's the real start.
That's the case of lo matzi ladure. Like le'inyan maver sakim shesram the ma'isa osim shas kriyas shraman dayan eno maybe dechiv Shabbos. He still has to go beyond. Is then we're going to need the principle of akira tzarcha noch k'teil shavye miguf achiv shachar kainu mishum. I just wish he would give me a nafke mina here. So, ulefi zeh, let's see, maybe this is the punchline. Ulefi zeh, zorak chetz b'shabbos, b'rshus hayochid, lasos chabura bi'odom, o b'behema. So I don't think we're talking about melech ha-savara here. Obi behema v'kara shirayim balichos afal pi she lo shayach b'zakira tzorech hanocha mikol kom potu mishum sheshneach yuyim boyim ha-maisa echad shal zrika. Wow. Okay, this is the Afike Yam. Now I don't know if I don't have the Afike Yam here, but I'm assuming that the Afike Yam is quoting the Truma Sakri. I mean, the Truma Sakri is probably, you know, 300 years before the Afike Yam. But the Nafkemina that he's offering here is a case of Zrikas HaChetz where there is no Akira L'Tzorach HaNocha. Because again, he's not Chayv from Meleches Hotzah here. But nevertheless, what he's Chayv for does not require another Maisa. Is that exactly what we're looking for? I thought we were looking for a case where it was Matzi Ladure. He's giving a case of Chetz. I was hoping for a case where it's Matzi Ladure, but if he leaves things as is, he's going to be Chayev. Chayev Misa, I mean. That's what I was hoping for. I don't see that here yet. Okay. So that needs a little bit of work. But where was the... There was something I really was excited about talking to you about. Let me just see. Where am I? Okay. So we have... Oh, maybe this is it. Reish Lamed Zayin. Okay. So again, Rabosei, if you could make a note here, if you like, I'm going to try to make a note for myself that on the top here of Kuf Tzadik Ches, which is the end of Reish Lamed Zayin, we may want to see if we can sharpen that up a little bit. Oh, Yesh Listapik Hech Adin Bezorek Chetz. How many more minutes do we have? Because we'll try to go to Mircha. He says the following. Zorek chetz mitchilas arba l'sof arba v'hu atzmo kara shirayim b'shas halichas hachetz al yidei maisa acher. Remember, this reminds us of the case of someone who was eating truma. In that case, he was eating his own truma on daf lamed amid beis Ravashi, and at the same time he used his other hand, so to speak, to rip someone else's shirayim. E neimer b'zeh akira tzorech hanocha. So it wasn't that the chetz ripped someone's shirayim in his flight, but that while this chetz is in flight, he went ahead with his hands and he ripped someone's shirayim. E name of bazeh. Okay. Oh, Dilma, what's the second possibility? Dafka b'maisa echad amrinan hachi v'hainuk shachetz atzmo kara shirayim below v'shnei anoshim. I mean, this sounds a little bit like Misa Lezeh, Mamet Lezeh. I don't want to get back to that sugi again. Let's just see. He's saying that Akir Tzorech Hanoch is all one Maisa. So we need a Mitzaref here to link up together the Chiv Misa with the Chiv Mamon. So the Mitzaref is that it's all one Maisa. But in a case where it's two Maisim that happened by chance, by accident, to sync, to be in sync, then he's saying we're not going to apply the principle of Akira Tzorech Hanoch. I mean, again, this is very radical because
it's unrelated.
No, but okay, you're a fan of this, right? I just want to tell you why, to me, this is a big chiddush, and why I intuitively resist. You know, I resist it. I'm too conservative. You know, I resist the chiddush. Because until now, what we tried to establish was that the beginning of the Chiyuv Misa starts with the Akira. And that sets up a period of time called Kimlev the Rabine. He's now changing that whole understanding. And he's saying, no, the Akira Tzarech Hanocha means I'm somehow integrating the Chiyuv Mamon into the Chiyuv Misa. And how do I achieve that? Because it's one Misa. The Chiyuv Mamon and the Chiyuv Misa are all intertwined, Farbundant, right? They're all connected to one mice. But if there happened to be an overlap of two mice, we're not going to say, well, he can't be chayav misa during, he can't be chayav mama during the time that he's chayav misa.
Why is it?
So wait, let's just think about this. Do we have a case of kimleib the rabbimine what about Rav Ashi? Let's go back for a second to Rav Ashi. What is he going to say? I think he tells you this is a flaw about Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says, this is the bottom of Lamed Amud Beis going on to Lamed Aleph, Bizar she'achal truma mishalo, v'kara shirayim shel chavero. And where's the Maisa Echad? And Rav Ashi says, in this case, we apply the principle of Kimlev the Rabbim in it. Again, Rashi says that Rama would disagree because it's Misa Lezeh v'tashlum and Lezeh. But leaving out Rav for a moment, let's talk about Rav Ashi. Where's the Maisa Echad of Rav Ashi?
It's not, but it's an Osei Echad.
Here also it's Osei Echad, right? But it's just simultaneity.
Yeah, but he's
while he's do, while he's doing an Achilas Truma, he's also ripping someone else's Shirayim. So he's Chayef Achilas Truma as a Zar, and he's Chayef Mamon because he's ripping someone else's Shirayim as a Masik, and he happens to be doing it simultaneously. Why are we going to exclude that in the case where he's involved in the Zrika, which is the same as Achilas Truma, and at the same time, you know, he's got two hands. You know, with one hand he shoots out an arrow, and with the other hand he rips somebody else's shirayim that are in his hand. You know what I'm saying? Not the arrow ripped the shirayim.
Yeah.
So why not say simultaneity, or at least according to Rav Ashi? I don't know, maybe he's not going according to Rav Ashi. So he's saying that no, because the Shas Akir is not really, it's not like the Achilas Chelev, it's not the real Shas Akir. So we're dealing with a tziruf of the Akira to the Anocha by setting it up as Maisa Echad, and we can't do that in a case where he rips Shirayim with his other hand. Alright, so these are some of the things that we want to think about over Shabbos. Alright, and with that note, I'll wish you all a great Shabbos. And